Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Rat City Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Perry the Pig, and this is episode 63 or so. It's been a good time so far. We're about 2 weeks into the season two. Still having fun, still having more things to talk about, yap about, build, and explore. Dread, you are my co-host here. Thank you so much for sharing your evening with me. What's going on, dude?
Hello, this is Dread, and today's Rat City Radio Podcast. We're going to be talking about a lot of fun stuff as EHG has released some statistics recently that are eye-opening at the
very least. I heard these were announced during the dev stream from today. What's today's date? Today is the May 2nd. Oh, yeah, May 2nd. Yeah. Love it. So we'll be talking about some of the stats they share there regarding Uber Aberroth kills. Love it. The very first thing that we're going to talk about, I'm going to preface this, and Twitch chat just heard me ranting, so we're going to talk about it for just a moment. Bear with me. I think this topic is old, boring, obvious, and cringe. But it just came up on the dev stream, so we're going to talk about it for 5 minutes. It's going to turn into 15
minutes. To be fair, it may be old, but it has come to a boiling point this patch.
Yes. So let me introduce it, and I suspect I know what you're going to say, but let's get there first. So the very first topic today is snapshotting. Now, to me and to Dread and to people who've played this game for a very long time, we're familiar with snapshotting, and we're familiar that it's something that's always been in the game, and the devs aren't happy about it, but it's just kind of there and it hasn't been fixed. So what is snapshotting, real quick? Snapshotting is the ability for your character in Last Epoch to take advantage of stats on your gear without currently wearing that gear. In the past, you could snapshot things like your 15 points to spec into Shaman to get access to Earthquake when it was the 15. I think it still is the 15 point skill, right? Yeah. So like you could snapshot those 15 points.
I think AOD is the perfect
example. AOD snapshotting, like you'd spec your 20 points into AOD, you'd turn on AOD, and then you'd unspec out of it, but like the snapshot thing would still remain on your character. Snapshotting's currently part of the Last Epoch zeitgeist because it is being used to market the only, basically the only acceptable way of playing minion builds. There are minion builds in Last Epoch that don't snapshot. The vast majority of them right now do. This is fueled by websites like MaxRoll who are just like advertising it as like, this is what you do. This is how you do it. This is the only way to play the skill.
Which, by the way, I don't disagree with it all. I've talked to them about this. I agree with the mentality behind it. This should have been fixed like years ago. And the fact it hasn't been fixed, like, is like the whole reason they have it on there is because they want it to get fixed. Because at this point,
and you know what?
The only way to get it to be fixed is to show it in action.
And they're kind of weaponizing the popularity of it, intentionally or unintentionally. I'm not sure. But like, I think it's totally fine for a website like MaxRoll to do this.
Yeah.
Like, listen, this is, I can imagine.
Unfortunately on EHG's like.
Yeah. And I've talked to Lizard enough, for example. I'm pretty sure he's the leader of the MaxRoll team. And like, I can just imagine in my mind's eye talking to Lizard. And he's like, well, if they're not going to fix it, we're going to talk about it. And we're going to make everyone know about it so that they put it on their radar for fixing it. And like, just for a moment, let me defend EHG. Like, if snapshotting were an easy thing to fix, it wouldn't pop up in every single action RPG that's ever been made.
Oh, the thing is, it's like, sure, it's like not an easy fix, but it has been 4 years. Like, even PoE eventually removed it, right?
They did.
Like,
yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love EHG and all, but 4 years is a long amount of time. And remember as well, we've had long periods without patches as well. It's not like as if they haven't had, like, technically they had the time, right? Like maybe instead of, I don't know, introducing the Arena of Champions that no one uses, maybe they could have spent that dev time, you know.
They didn't know nobody was going to use it. Okay, listen. All right.
Continue.
All right, so let's continue. Bringing this back to EHG, during the dev stream today, somebody asked the question about snapshotting, and Mike was willing enough to give his like little snapshot of an answer about it, saying that snapshotting is legal. It is not against against TOS. It is not cheating. It is an unfortunate side effect of what's in the game right now. It is basically a clever use of game mechanics, and it is completely appropriate for everyone to use it. In my words, to summarize that, is snapshotting is cringe as hell. If you're really going to play a build that needs two sets of gear to be good, like, that's on you. You can have fun however you want to have fun. Like, that sounds boring to me.
Don't get me wrong. The cringe part's fine. But it, from a game balance perspective, it's absurdly awful.
Absurd. Imagine two sets of gear.
Imagine some builds just having access to two sets of gear at the same time.
That's fucking crazy.
Imagine some builds having access to six or seven builds at once. Like,
yeah.
This isn't just a it's cringe thing. This is a it's a game balance thing.
Yeah.
Like we're going to talk about this later, but we are literally talking about how like, oh, like the Sentinel's like 70% of all the Uber Abroth kills right now. Dude, like imagine you're a class that just gets two sets of gear to put on.
Right.
Like, that's absurdly stupid.
It's completely crazy. Yeah, so I guess, like, this popped up on Reddit as well. People were saying, like, oh, like, PSA, snapshotting is fine and legal and is not a break against TOS.
No, that was Misha. She was joking.
Apparently, this is news to some people. Because, like, there are new players out there. And, like, it does look suspicious as hell. But, like, this is just something that's in the game. And like, we can talk about it. I don't know what else there's to say about it.
My opinion on it is this should have been fixed a long time ago. Whether or not, like it should never have reached. Like, a good example, why release a piece of Uber content that requires the best of the best builds to do while also having one of the biggest balance problems in Last Epoch history existing at the same time.
Oh, do you mean Falcon?
I feel like as though, well.
Oh, you're still talking about snapshotting. Okay, go on, go on. Yeah, I hear you.
While also having this in the game at the same time, I feel like whether or not it was intentional, this is absurdly poor timing, even if they fix it.
It is definitely poor timing. So, so something that you mentioned about like, about the minion builds that currently exist in Last Epoch. And like this, you mentioned a boiling point. So instead of me taking your thunder, let me reintroduce that topic to you. Yeah, what did you mean when you talked about the boiling point and where we are with minion builds in Last Epoch right now? Tell me.
So Last Epoch, so we talked about this at length, but like Last Epoch is technically a difficult game once you actually push the difficulty. But most people, including minion players, I will throw in here, usually never interacted with said difficulty. They would never get to the point of getting to said difficulty in terms of like high corruption farming and stuff like that, right? Because whether or not it was too hard to get there, like it was in the past, it took too much time, whatever it was, right? In Last Epoch, you were not shoved into difficult content fast enough to ever need snapshotting before 1.0. Before 1.0, you could just play your dainty little skeleton summoner and have all of your skeletons die to Raya's attack every single time he does it at 100 corruption. You could do that and still be able to play the game. But now that there is a defined goal of this is the best of the best, the best of the best does this, people are now incentivized to use it because it's fucking annoying to use.
Yeah,
it's annoying to use. And if you're a minion enjoyer right now and you want to do Uber Abroth, your hands are tied like as if you're a hog. Like you do not get to have a choice. It's either watch all your minions die to the dot pools and have infinite sacks of frailty on them, or snapshot.
How on earth do you cleanse ailments off your minions to allow them to deal damage? There's
fast
war...
enough.
What, say what?
Yeah. Fast enough.
Fast enough. Repeatedly. So there's Warcry, and then there's what? What are minion builds supposed to do?
Yeah, like
die.
I feel like it's a poor design. Like this is also pointing out some design issues with the fight as well.
Yeah.
Mind you, like this isn't entirely on snapshotting's problem. Like in theory, you shouldn't have to do this if minions were viable choices, right? But that's neither here nor there. Now it exists. Like the like pretty much the proverbial like snake is out of the can. Like because No one did it before because you didn't need to do it. And now that there's a quote-unquote reason to do it, now people are doing it, and now it's coming in the limelight.
Yes.
The reason why EHG didn't have to fix it for so long is because it was, like, hidden behind doors. People didn't talk about it. People didn't play it. People would every so often talk about it and bring it up, but they would never show it in action because you had no reason to, because the game wasn't difficult enough, fast enough for that to matter. But now that the game, you can actually push corruption. Like, this was starting to boil up last patch. People were doing snapshot stuff last patch. Like, they were doing it. It's just, it wasn't so in your face like it is now. And now it's in your face, and everyone's using it and everything, right? Like, to make their minion builds work. And it's not just minion builds that are using this, mind you. Like, there are other builds that use this. Like, a good example is, like, there's the chest, the ox chest, the pale ox chest. What if you had a Titan heart, but was better? Okay, twice as good, while also being able to wear a real chest at the same time. What if you could do that? You can snapshot summon bear on Primalis and give it so much HP it will never die ever, right? With all of the gear, swap out and swap into pale ox and have an infinite source of 24% less damage taken the entire way. Like, that is absurd. That is just, like, what if you just had Titanheart, but better? The chest we were talking about, that, like, Mike was saying might get nerfed kind of thing. Like what if you just had that, but double as good, and, like, also an infinite minion walking around with you? Like,
when you say, like, the chest that might get nerfed, we're talking about Titanheart, and that kind of heralds back Titanheart to a different conversation. Yeah. And that conversation actually came from, like, should we change the dual wheel penalty because you're giving up shields, you're giving up using Titanheart? And then Mike's response was like, well, okay, well, if Titanheart is so good, maybe that's a problem with Titanheart as opposed to, like, the dual wheel penalty. But I just want to give some context for that. So there's this conversation about snapshotting. We'll talk about it a little bit here. We can talk about minions more, but
I just want to put, like, we'll finish it now.
Yeah, okay.
My only piece of feedback from all of this, personally, is nice that it's finally out in the open. People are talking about it more. But it was kind of a weird decision to wait 4 years to fix it, I think. Like, waiting 4 years to fix it, that's a long time. Like, remember when, like, PoE fixed double dipping? If you don't know, back in the day, double dipping in PoE existed where
you just, like, activated my neurons, by the way. I'm like, I'm literally excited hearing those words again.
Imagine if PoE waited to fix double dipping till now. People would just be fucking just rioting and throwing their computers out the street. Like, they were rioting and throwing their computers out of the street then, and, like, the ARPG scene wasn't even that big then. Now, with this many people, like, they just, like, pretty much EHG has kind of just let, like this is probably, like, unfortunately, this might come back to bite them in the ass a little bit in terms of, like, like, negative press. Like, this patch has been going amazingly. Everything's going amazingly. This is the first negative thing that I've had to talk about for, like, 2 weeks. I'm livid.
Are you actually livid about it?
No, I'm more disappointed.
Got it. Disappointment's fine. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've got like a few small complaints here and there, but, like,
I'm joking, by the way. Listen. But seriously though, like not fixing it for 4 years looks very bad on them, and that's, like, what I'm getting at. It's like, it does not look good.
Well, highlighting the juxtaposition of the released content, like, for Uber Aberroth, along with minion builds being absolute garbage against Uber Aberroth, except for snapshotting and having two separate sets of gear for your stuff, like, that with the new piece of content, it's weird to have those two right next to each other.
Good observation. It's just like I don't know. It's just, like, weird timing on everything.
It is. I want to move on. Undoubtedly, we're going to move back to this, but I said that I wanted to keep it short, maybe sweet. I said 15 minutes for talking about snapshotting. We might come back to it, but it's a big but. Let's talk about our second conversation topic today, which, again, comes straight from the dev stream. Mike was very, very kind to share some internal metrics about what's going on with Uber Aberroth. So this is online only. Obviously, they can't track offline stuff, but this is a janky little image that I'm going to put on the screen here. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you do have access to this little thing.
I will I will talk it out while
absolutely people are on. So to describe but before you talk it out, let me describe what it is. This is a list of the online builds, character names that have killed Uber Aberroth. So like if I take my character and kill it 1,000 times, it still only counts as one. But if Dread kills it with one Void Knight and I kill it with one Void Knight, that's two. So this is a list of per mastery breakdown, all 15 masteries, who has killed Uber Aberroth.
Yep. Now we're going to break it down a little bit here. So the first one, we have Void Knight at 2,157 kills. And most of those is either Erasing Strike or Time Rot. There's also some Warpathers. There's like some other things, but mainly
I would assume overwhelmingly so those two builds.
Yeah, Erasing Strike, Time Rot, Warpath, right? Cool. Falconer. Umbral Blades Falconer, I'm going to assume is the most of that. I don't know if there's any others right now. I don't play Falconer, so I don't know personally. But mostly the Umbral Blades, like stacking a bajillion Umbral Blades on the ground to do infinite more damage. Cool. Paladin, Judgment. That's all I need to say. With 712 kills.
Is anything else going on with Paladin outside of those? Like, I'm sure like other builds can do it, but like
I think they can do it, but why would you do it? That's a better question.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think you and I both have a lot to say about this list, but let's continue breaking it down before we digress. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Now, Beastmaster, 119 kills. Entirely, all of those are probably just snapshotted Stormcrows.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Entirely. Yep. Because they're very quick kills. Next, Necromancer. Entirely, probably the whole list is snapshotted Abomination. Cool. All right, next on the list with 39. Marksman, Heartseeker, Bleed Poison Heartseeker. That has been a confirmed kill.
Are you saying like is that the only Marksman build that's going to be available, like able to do this? Is that like the most popular one?
That's the only one that we know that we have knowledge on.
Okay.
Now, the problem is like all we know is what's been posted on YouTube and what people have been talking about.
Yeah, got it.
And we know that Bleed, Poison, Heartseeker can do it. Probably HOA could probably do it, but I haven't seen anything yet on it. Because remember, like I'm trying to pay attention to all this, and this is all I've seen so far.
I mean, like there's Heartseeker plus Hail of Arrows, like doing a bunch of duration stacking. Well, I assume that's the thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, most of it, I think, is just pure DPS. Yeah, pure DPS. Maybe also as well Morning Frost as well, right? Then we have Lich at 21 kills.
I assume that's all Stygian Coal, right? Stygian Coal.
Yeah. That is Stygian Coal. Next, Rune Master. That is Hydra Hedron and Brand of Deception. Now, you can snapshot these for 3x your damage, by the way. But you don't need it. But, you know, obviously, you know, people are going to use it, right? Next, Spellblade. Entirely Shatterstrike. If there was a non-Shatterstrike gamer on that list, I'd shit my pants.
So this is an opportunity for people who are watching live to make something very funny happen. Go play a Spellblade without Shatterstrike.
I mean, you could probably do Surge. Surge is the only other one, right? And then after that, at 13 kills, we have 11 kills, we have Druid.
Well, let me verbally remind the numbers that we had. Because we had 2,100, 2,100 VKs, 900 Falconers, 700 Paladins, and now we're down to 11 Druids.
Yep, is Tornado Werebear Druid.
Okay,
Tornado
go on. Werebear. Undoubtedly.
Then we have 8 Warlocks. All of those were probably Antez. I'm joking. But Flame Whip Warlock has come onto the scene as a new build. Flame Whip Warlock has killed Uber Aberroth.
Look, Giga Brain build. Very cool build. I've seen
two videos on it already. Yes. The next, Shaman. That is either Storm Totem. I don't know if that's the case or not. And Tornado Shaman, which is pretty much very similar to Tornado Werebear.
I would assume Tornado as well. Tornado had a little bit of hype for Shaman builds with the new mana cost before Season 2 launched. I'd assume that those are like those people like min-maxing the builds getting there.
So Shaman, and Forge Guard at 8 kills, even higher than Shaman, mind you, which is funny as hell. Forge Guard. I haven't seen a video on it. I actually don't.
It also was bugged for the most part until 3 days ago, right? 2 days ago, 3 days ago?
We don't know. We haven't seen a build on it.
If you literally out there in the audience is playing, if you're playing Forge Guard,
that's what I assumed. Yeah.
If you're playing Forge Guard against Uber Abroth, let us know. Tell us.
Shield Bash. People are saying it's Shield Bash. All right, cool. I haven't been up to date on this because I don't play Forge Guard. And then Sorcerer, I actually don't know. I think it's Static. My guess would be Static Orb.
My guess would be Meteor. I don't know.
Meteor? No.
You don't think so?
Oh, it could be Snapshotted Manifest Armor. You're right. It could be Snapshotted Manifest Armor on Forge Guard. You're right. It could be. But for Sorcerer, that's a wild card. I haven't seen any videos on it yet. That's a wild card. Sorcerer is literally a wild card. We actually don't know. If chat's relaying us what the Forge Guard build is, like one of the Forge Guard build. So there is a Forge Guard build that uses Shield Bash, which does not scale on attack speed, right? And then they're using Event Horizon, which reduces your attack and cast speed, gives you like a 150% more damage, and that makes your Shield Bash go nuts. And you can do that now because of the two-handed node, Forge Guard. So Forge Guard actually has a use.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Oh, that's sick. Woo! Oh, I love that.
The Forge Guard only build actually doing Uber Abroth. That is amazing.
That's cool. I like that. Oh, yeah. And then we using have Blade a shield. Dancer okay.
At three. And for Blade Dancer, I'm going to assume it's some kind of Umber Blades thing. I'm going to assume.
I would have a different guess. Maybe like Umber Blades or like Explosive Trap Acid Flask.
I don't know on that. Yeah. They did nerf the mana on it. Mm. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I went and looked on YouTube, and I couldn't find any. Now, did they state that these were solo kills or in group? Because if these were in a group, right, they don't count.
I don't.
Obviously.
I don't know about whether it's solo or group. So I assume so. I hope it's solo data.
Yeah. If they were in a group, right, hopefully this is solo, but if this was in a group, they could have just done it in a group, and that's why three Blade Dancers are on there, which I think there probably is a Blade Dancer that can do it. Like, Lethal Mirage might be able to do it. Umbral Blades can do it. Like,
like Lethal Mirage with the Event Horizon to an end maze.
Yeah.
That was a thing last time around. It was like normal.
Yeah, that one tap stuff.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. So we don't know exactly on this one, and pretty much no one knows at this point. I asked around. We don't actually know, but
it's maybe, kind of exciting. I like it.
It's kind of exciting to see that. But now we know. So just to recap, 2,000 kills on Void Knight, 900 on Falconer, 700 Paladin, Beastmaster 100, Necromancer 80, Marksman 40, Lich 20, Rune Master 16, Spellblade 13, Druid 11, Warlock 8, Shaman 7, Forge Guard 8, 6 on Sorcerer, and 3 on Blade Dancer. So what do you want to talk about?
So thinking briefly about the numbers, this is... Well, let's go numbers first, and then we'll talk about like the popularity aspect of this.
Yeah.
So looking at it, it looks like 52%, or like more than half of every single Uber Abroth kill comes from a VK. Comes from like presumably either Time Rot or Erasing Strike, right? So yep. Noteworthy for Erasing Strike. And honestly, I'll freely admit this, the reason that I'm playing Erasing Strike right now is that I saw Fubgun in Softcore, who's the world's first solo Softcore kill for Uber Abroth, playing his Erasing Strike build. And I saw
which was, by the way, I will mention that build was the build from Max Roll. So
sure.
That was Volca.
Good. So looking at that build and seeing like it's extremely easy to put it together. It's just T7 mana on a bunch of stuff, and you're like 90% of the way to max power just by having one LP unique items, which is wild.
Yep.
So I saw that. And I thought to myself, hey, I want to take a build to Uber Abroth. I want to do the fight. I want to succeed in the fight. I want to learn the fight. And then I'll worry about going and like doing my own build later on. And that's the point.
Which is the mentality a lot of people are taking, by the way.
And that's my current step. I'm currently looking for like what's the next build that I want to do. And like, so we said 52% of everyone is VK. If you add VK and Paladin together, it's 70% of all builds. And again,
wouldn't it be 71% if you add Forge Guard now?
We disregarded it, but yeah, eight, right? It was eight. Great. Eight Forge Guards. So
gotta add them in, man.
71% of all kills come from Sentinel. And again, this comes from a couple things. First of all, Sentinel just got reworked. It's exciting. It's new. Forge Guard got a hot new one singular node for it, but everyone else got updates. And then going into season two at this big contest coming from Ziz, where lots of people were like trying to figure out how to kill this thing as fast as possible. Lots of popularity for Paladin Judgment builds. And of course, lots of popularity in VK because of the Racing Strike with like exactly the same bandwagon that I just jumped on. So like, we know that, yeah, these things are new. Yeah, these things are strong, but this is a popularity contest. This is not a description of which builds are strong and also, which builds are weak.
We do have to mention, unfortunately, there was a lot of knowledge about Uber Abra before it was released.
Oh, yeah. I guess we're talking about that too. Woo!
And the builds that are on this list as well, a lot of the more popular ones, are ones that we knew could kill Uber Abra before the patch launch.
What an extremely boring series of events.
I'm not going to get into specifics. But that is true, and it remains like we do have to talk
true
about.
Just, cringe
just,
boring.
Just to mention yeah. it, but continuing on, we're just going to ignore that fact. But continuing on,
okay, we're going to move on. Good. So
yeah, I just want to mention it for just so people understand why there's so many Void Knights. I just like that's part of the reason. But continue.
Okay, so we're moving on. Do you want to not move on for a second, or do you want to keep moving?
No, let's move on.
Okay, now we'll move on. Holy, so. I guess what this is, it's a popularity contest. It's got a lot of the Sentinel stuff and like it's not snapshotting. I kind of want to talk about the masteries on the bottom here because I am ready to play my next build. I want to do something new. And like, do I want to play Heartseeker? Because like, that's new and it looks very fun and I'm always drawn to fun. And I'm thinking like, what's the next build that I want to sink my teeth into? And like, honestly, when I see this list, I look at Blade Dancer, Sorc, Forge Guard, Shaman, like even Warlock. I'm like, shit, let's go do that. That sounds like a great objective, like, you know, sink my teeth into. It looks like so much fun.
Yeah, I agree. It does look very fun.
Kind of like having an achievement set up where you're like, oh, can you do it? Can you be the number four Blade Dancer in the world?
I just want to point out, this is a popularity contest.
It is, through it is. Through.
Like... To give you an idea, right now, currently the fastest and easiest Uber Abroth kill is Falconer, which is only second. If we were to go by strength, that would be 99% of the entire tree because, like, it killed it in 43 seconds. That is fucking absurd
yep.
for a fight that takes how long does it Doesn't... take you on a racing strike?
Oh, a few minutes. It's fun. Yeah. I like it, but yeah, a few minutes.
But in comparison, if we're going to go by pure power, right? So we still want to point that out. This is popularity. So the reasoning behind that is like a deep-seated thing, which we can talk about if you want.
I would love to. But like the reason, like you and I often, when we're talking about like the relative power of stuff, like we say like, obviously Falconer comes first, but that's boring. So let's talk about something else instead. Like Falconer is just so far above and beyond.
Let's talk about why Void Knight is up there.
Oh, why Void Knight? I assume Void Knight's up there because it lines up well with the new defensive nodes in the tree, and then Erasing Strike got a lot of popularity before season two.
Well, so I would suck dick for a few minutes. I'm gonna allow that. I think it's funny.
What?
What Master Sword said. It got auto-modded.
Okay. Yeah, it sure did. All right, keep going. Tell me.
There's a few different things. This is like a perfect storm of things. First things off, if you were just to ask someone their most favorite mastery from last epoch, Void Knight would be the number one pulling.
It's been mine for years. True.
Yeah. VK literally is like literally the top, like popular, just by popularity. Like if you ask like a noob, it's like, hey, you played last epoch for 5 minutes. What's your favorite class?
It's so edgy. It's cool. So edgy.
Edgy. Yeah. Cool. All right. That's the first thing. Second thing, it just got buffed and buffed. And buffed. Like they've slowly been buffing Erasing Strike.
And adding more quality of life to it, yes.
And Void Knight as well. And then they buffed the passive tree again. And then they buffed, you know, Erasing Strike by giving it 100% more damage modifier.
Well, isn't Erasing Strike the only skill that got like overbuffed from the change of volatile reversal?
That's why it's so popular is the Erasing Strike perk, because Erasing Strike was also a popular skill, right?
Erasing Strike, who doesn't like melee builds that aren't garbage? It's so much fun.
Now, all of this, though, the entirety of all of this the reason why Void Knight's on the list is because guess what they get to do because of a certain passive?
Go on.
Ignore mana with Void Well. Now.
Yeah, well.
Like, that's not 2,157. That's like 2,000 Void Well builds and 100 like Time Rot builds probably or something like that.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to say is expect Void Well to get taken out back to next patch.
Is like Void Well, so let's bring people back on board so they know what we're talking about. Void Well is a node in the top half of the VK skill tree. It says if you go below zero mana, if you have three Void Essences, which got buffed, if you have three Void Essences, you delete those Void Essences and you recover 30% of your mana pool. So all these builds, including the Erasing Strike build that I'm playing right now, you build...
And the Warpath build.
You build 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, 1,300 mana, so that every time you get 30% of your mana back, it's like having a completely insane amount of mana regeneration.
If you're wondering, by the way, if you add... I was doing the math on the side here. If you add the Forge Guards to the Void Knights and Paladins for the amount, right now, if you were to take without Forge Guard,
it should be 70%,
No, it was 69.6% of the entirety of it all.
69.6, okay.
And if you add Forge Guard, it's 69.7.
Forge Guard got buffed! Yes! Forge Guard's fixed!
Yeah! There you go. I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you. That was good. That was good.
Woo! All right, continuing on. Yeah,
Void Well. Like Void Well allows you to build maximum mana and then have a play style where like you don't need a mana generator, mana spender. You just build mana and you build functions. That's it. Easy as.
Yep. It's going to get nerfed into the ground.
So the prevailing way of building it is like... I heard someone else come into my Twitch chat, and it was one of the tryhards. I don't know, you know Wander, right? And yeah, he was looking anything else that he could do with the Erasing Strike build, looking for innovations. And he like has a higher DPS version where like he sacrifices defenses and stuff. But he was looking for like any other kind of innovation to like make the Erasing Strike like go harder. And he's like, man, it's such a pain in the ass that World Splitter has 50% increased mana on it. Because even if you find other like DPS options instead, like that, you know, less synergistic but more raw power, like you can't beat 50% increased mana on top of all that. It's a wild like increase in the quality of life and how quickly you can get the build spun up. It's crazy. Yep. Speaking of that,
World Splitter is probably going to go the way of the Dodo too.
World Splitter is cool. It'd be cool, like maybe if it didn't have like melee void damage on it, you could like try to use it for like other builds as well. But
there are two problems I think with Erasing Strike specifically here. There's two, because let's be real. Being able to clear the entire screen while also doing the most difficult boss in the game is pretty absurd.
It's nice to have one patch where melee feels great.
I agree. But there's two parts that got changed that is under the hood. The Void Well stuff we talked about.
I hope that you and I are on the same page. What's the other one?
The fat 100% more damage modifier they added on a Erasing Strike for no reason.
It was compensation Why? For the loss of volatility.
They didn't need it. Okay, if you don't know what we're talking about, okay, there is a node inside a Erasing Strike that was called Obliteration, and it used to give you flat spell damage for your Void Beams and flat melee damage.
Yeah.
For your Erasing
Strike. And they changed it to double damage.
To just more damage.
100% more. Oh, yeah, they sure did.
100% more while wielding a two-handed weapon. Why?
What the fuck? it's so good. Erasing Strike wasn't bad last patch. Just like, this was a, like, not only did they did that, but like, I'm going to get to one other thing, but they also made the time rot thing way easier to achieve. Because they quadrupled the application rate of Erasing Strike itself, and they add like duration to that node, didn't they? Like the 100%.
There's a lot of good stuff they did.
They just made it. It's like they heard Karn like, complaining, Karn, and they just Karn, made everything easier
Karn
to do.
Karn was like, "I want to play Erasing Strike next patch," and he just made it happen.
So I would actually point to something else. And my issue, because like I've been playing a lot of Racing Strike at this point, and like while trying to gear up something else or even decide what else to play. But in my experience playing Racing Strike, and this is the first thing I latched onto when I saw Fob Gun do his like world's first softcore thing, is like the gear to get up and running with this particular version of Racing Strike, which is just like World Splitter plus mana, right? It really came at the perfect time alongside those deterministic 1LP slams. Because getting this build up to 80% or even 85% of its maximum power is fucking easy.
Realistic.
Really easy to do. You don't need to grind. You don't got to do anything. It's just like a couple uniques here and there, slap T7 mana on them. And like, yeah, your build's like, it's worse than mine after I've been playing for 2 weeks. But like, it's pretty close.
Yeah, and then now, like, to give you an idea here, okay? Now, this is, in contrast, all these things we talked about with the Racing Strike and Void Knight, all these things are in contrast to them slapping a giant negative 20% damage and 10% less attack speed on the Forge Guard.
Poor Forge Guard.
Like, that is why this is, like, nonsensical, but like, in context. Now, we're going to talk about this more about Uber Abroth, because I think this is an interesting talk about a topic that we'll get about. But specifically Racing Strike here, it is, like, if they, like, I bet right now, if Perry went and clicked off Voidwell off his build and tried to do Uber Abroth again.
Are you a lunatic? It'd be a
completely different.
What?
No,
I would have to change my build. That'd be a lunacy thing to do.
Yeah, you'd have to change your build and you'd have to like invest into like mana gen. And then all of a sudden, all that damage goes out the window.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm getting at is like this is a Voidwell issue.
But like, they're not going to delete Voidwell. Like they could nerf it instead of being a 3 second cooldown, it could be like a 5 second cooldown.
They're not going to delete it.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to delete it.
That's what Orbit Static Orb said too.
God, they really took Orbit Static Orb.
Like, come on,
back.
Like
I almost played Orbit Static Orb recently. Yeah. I can't believe how much I can't believe I'm still mad they took Yo-Yo from me. The Yo-Yo node
like,
after it.
I remember that, like I'll be honest, in my opinion, Voidwell just needs to go. I think it's stupid design. Why does the Void Knight specifically out of all the masteries get this while the others get to struggle with their mana? If we're gonna like make mana actually a thing to actually have to worry about, why just add Voidwell? I think it's nonsensical.
Well, you like, do have to worry about it because you're building T7 mana on all of your unique items.
Oh no. All right.
Well, instead of building Crypt Multi or something, you know, I don't know. Listen, no, you're
we all know that
you're completely correct. I'm just trying to illustrate where the thinking is.
Yeah, exactly. like if you actually pay attention and actually do the math of how much mana you get back from Voidwell every second, it's comparable to like putting mana regen on almost every single prefix on your character and more.
Yeah, like it's better than that. Like if I slammed T7 mana regeneration, my build would be garbage.
What if you had focus, Perry, but you didn't have to spec into it on a skill? like let's be real, it's stupid. Just fucking like get rid of it. Like it's dumb. Like it needs to go, unfortunately. Like I think it, while also existing with all the other buffs, that's what I want them to see. That's what I want to see. Okay. In my humble opinion, that's what I want to see. I want to see them remove Voidwell and not touch the rest of Void Knight and then see what happens. Because that would be way more interesting than what's going on.
Action RPGs always have like these, there's like so many moving pieces at the same time. Like the context of everything, including the context of popularity, defines so much of like not only strength, but like perceived strength. And like I used to play a lot of Path of Exile as well. Like I understand that Path of Exile was very willing to nerf things to New Oblivion so they could like, you know, manually change what the meta was to shift people from like having, you know, you're all going to play Elementalist this patch and everyone's going to play a Duelist this patch because that's what we're going to shift things around. But like the Orbit Static Orb thing is a good example, because like instead of just nerfing the mana cost,
I have a much more recent nerf that we'll talk about.
Oh, sure. Okay, so the Orbit Static Orb, like they nerfed the mana cost, they nerfed the duration of the spiral, and they nerfed the explosion and the generation of like the small orbs. Like they nerfed so many things at the same time. It's like you could have just nerfed one thing, maybe, or just the damage.
But then you have to build attack speed level var. Go do it with Vengeance instead of Voidwall. Seriously, go do it. Like, go do it. Yeah, go see how easy it is. Go see, seriously, legitimately. So my complaint.
Okay, so this is a person in Twitch chat right now who's watching, and they said, if you remove Void Will, people will add Vengeance for infinite mana and damage reduction, and we're
back.
That's
not infinite mana.
But like that also seems fine, right?
Yeah, that's how it should be.
Like that's yeah, and like you're microing these things, and you're swapping between these two, and like you're
like
melee much more
mana
often.
When you use Vengeance is nowhere near comparable to the amount of mana that Voidwell gives.
Yeah, and like the build, I feel like the build basically builds no attack speed right now. Like you have to go out of your way to get some bonus attack speed into it, and like
yeah,
if that ends up being the way that people build it in the future, once EEG hopefully addresses this whole system or like the paradigm of Erasing Strike right now, yeah, like it is that Erasing Strike is currently so strong, it shouldn't be gutted. They should like change small things about it. The current peak power level of Erasing Strike being like such an all-rounder build and very easy to spin up is probably a bit too much, but to me personally the issue that I take up issue with is that it's so easy to spin up. Like the deterministic 1LP slams, we are right smack in the middle of like those being added to the game, like very much so determining what builds you want to play because of the ease of spinning those things up. And they also introduce set crafting at the same time, which is exclusive with the best LP system we've ever had. And like, I'm running a contest right now, and the contest is going to be coming to its conclusion in 2 days or so for who can do the most exciting things with the set affixes. And I want to like take the data that we get from the contest, because I know there's a lot of people who put a lot of brain power into the builds, and I'm excited to see what it's going to be. But like, yeah. These are build crafters and big brain people trying to figure out what you can do with them. And like, it's not going to compare to the relative power increase that's been added to the game of just having 1LP deterministic slams.
Yeah. Like, it's wild. Really interesting.
Wild.
All right. We can continue on down the list here if you want now. Why is Falconer popular?
Mid's overpowered. Is that a real question? Did someone ask why is Falconer popular?
On. No. Okay, all right, good. Continuing on. All right, cool. All right. I want to actually respond as one. I feel like if Voidwall needs to go, this is an open chat. I feel like if Voidwall needs to go, the mana stuff on transformation with Druid should also go as well. Duh. It's stupid. We all agree it's stupid and everyone hates it. It's the same thing.
I've got other complaints about transformations too.
But yeah, continuing on. All right. Paladin, why is it popular? Judgment is a very thematic skill for Paladin, and everyone in like just dungeon, everyone who's even looked at Dungeons and Dragons once all love Paladin.
Yeah,
and so
very thematic, historically extremely beginner friendly, so it speaks to a lot of people who are like coming back to the game like every once a year or something, right? And then it also happens to line up well into Uber Aberroth because of the Judgment stuff.
Yeah, now to give as a just a comparison, okay, comparing Erasing Strike to Judgment. Erasing Strike hits the whole screen. Judgment does not hit the whole screen. Erasing Strike feels very smooth to play. Judgment feels clunky to play and clear, right? Erasing Strike needs almost little to no gear to get started. Judgment needs a decent amount of gear to get started. You see the differences here? Erasing Strike doesn't need to use Vengeance to get its mana back. Judgment does, right? And those are the things that like that are different. Like, for instance, a good example is like, I think that Judgment itself may be a little strong here and there, but it's the kind of build that if you told me killed Uber Aberroth, I wouldn't be confused. I'd just be like, oh, yeah.
Wouldn't be mad either. Like, hey, if you're willing to stand there for 10 minutes and just be tanky, sure. That's an appropriate approach.
Cool. And that's the huge difference. Yep. Because remember, we're not complaining about Erasing Strike doing Uber Aberroth or clearing like 1,000 corruption monoliths easily with like insane AoE. We're talking about because it's doing both. I think that's like the point here that we have to make. Is like it you gotta have one. You can't have both, right? Like, you gotta have either insane clear speed or insane bossing. You can't have both.
I've been thinking about what my next build's gonna be, and like to me, like I'm obviously a tryhard, but I've got like two genres of builds. I've got like you're either gonna clear 1,000 corruption quickly, or you're going to specifically gear your character to like kill Uber Aberroth. And those are both fun and interesting goals. And like, I know that my next build is going to feel weird because I'm currently playing Erasing Strike and it does a really good job of both. Of just like doing both those things. Like, it's very easy to 1,000 corruption, very easy Uber Aberroth.
Well, Judgment, like the time-shattering strike thing, Like, we lived for 4 years where Paladin had some of the least amount of EHP in the game.
True.
Mind you, I think a lot of people that are complaining about the Sentinel dominance that we have right now really have not been playing that long. Because if you have been playing as long as Perry and I have, and some other people have, you're like cheering from the fucking sidelines. Like, go Sentinel, go! Go Sentinel, go! Sentinel has not been in relevance for so fucking long. What's the meme about Sentinel being the squishiest class, even though it's tanky? What's that about? I can't remember.
I mean, it is.
Like, when you did the math? When you did the math?
Oh, yeah, remember? Like, the effective HP for, like, a normal Sentinel build is just, like, below everything else. So, like, it is all of that math disregarded Rebuke, yeah. Which I think is an appropriate thing to do, because, like, Rebuke also cringe. Nobody uses Rebuke. Stop using Rebuke. Don't do it.
Well, now you use it.
The more people who use Rebuke, the less likely that Rebuke is ever going to get reworked. So just don't use it. Stop it.
Yeah, but still, like, if you were to tell me between an Erasing Strike Void Knight and a Paladin, a Judgment Paladin, and you told me that both tanked the one-shot slam from Aberroth, I would be more than willing to believe you on the Judgment build and understand it. Because, like that's just the kind of mentality that you have with the class fantasy. Obviously, not all of this is about balance. A lot of this is about fun. A lot of the reason why Sentinel is at the top is because it's just a fun mastery.
Totally.
It's fun. It's fun, right? But continuing on. So we have Beastmaster. That's minions, so we'll move on.
Cringe.
We have Necromancer. That's minions. So we'll move on. And then we have 39 Marksmen with Heartseeker. I was told Heartseeker was bad.
Are we really revisiting that meme?
Even if it did Uber Aberroth, that's insane, by the way. The amount of DPS you need and tankiness and all that, right?
I haven't seen the Uber Aberroth kills with Marksmen for Heartseeker. Do you need to, like, literally not get hit by anything?
I don't know. There's kills, like, on YouTube.
Can you tank, like, a basic attack?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just, it's the thing is, you're abusing your range. Yeah. Because Heartseeker can off-screen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a can of worms of its own in, like, entirety, but, you know, whatever. Like, Marksman not getting hit and killing it is thematic. Whatever. Who cares? Whoa, right? The Silver Shrouds, yada, yada, yada. Now, we got Lich, which is just Digin Cole abuse. Lich is getting a rework next patch, so, like, I'm not going to talk too much about this.
I don't even want to play a Lich build right now. Lich, it's like, we Lich know that 1.3 is around the corner.
Lich is a stat, like, Lich is a stat house, but it's boring, which is why people don't play it right now. But Stygian Cole is pretty good right now. So, Rune Master, it's Hydrahedron, which Hydrahedron has resurfaced as a very strong Uber bossing build. And it's just a very strong build in general.
You can deal damage and then move around and avoid stuff at the same time.
And it's a minion that doesn't die, which is very important.
Very similar to the Warlock build that we're going to get to in a moment. Just like, you put down your Thonic Fissure, you move around, you don't get hit. Like, perfect combination.
And then you have the Brain of Deception build, which I think the only kills I've seen so far have been snapshotted by, like, Frozen and stuff like that.
But yeah, when you say snapshot, you mean like the Frostwall thing, right?
Yeah, the Frostwall thing. Yeah,
sure, whatever.
That is a snapshot.
It is, but, like, yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah, yeah, like, whatever.
In the grand scheme of things, go snapshot.
Hellblade, the working man's class here, doing it with Shatterstrike, just okay, no tankiness, who cares? Let's just kill him as fast as possible. Shatterstrike with, like, fucking Diathan's bloody nib. It's like, either he dies or I die. And I'll be honest, the most manly build on the list so far.
Really? Wow, okay.
Because you're sitting mano-e-mano, hitting with Shatterstrike until he dies. Like that's so Giga Chad, it's not even funny. You're not even building into defenses. You're just like, either you die or I die.
I love
That's what's going to happen.
Good.
I love that. Like, it's melee too, right? Like, that's another thing. Now, Druid, Tornado Werebear, slightly less manly, but you get to be bear. So, but a Tornado Werebear accidentally came into the limelight a few patches ago, and now, like, it is probably the best Druid build currently, unless if we know anything else, like, anyone else wants to, like, you know, talk about it. But being able to face tank, and, like, I watched a Druid kill on Tornado Werebear. He had so many pools under his feet. and he was just fucking doing it anyways. The fight took 7 minutes, but he did not look in mortal danger whatsoever. And that's just how strong Tornado is right now. And then we got Warlock, the Flame Whip build, like you said. Mm-hmm. Another build where you put down Cathodic Fissure and you whip Abroth like it's some S&M concert, you know? Pat, pat, pat. And he does get stunned from every so often, by the way.
That, Flame Whip rebuff. To me, that's the most absurd. Surprising part about this particular build is that it's stunned Uber Abroth so consistently. That's what
it's hitting out for like 3 million per whip while also having like I think 1,000% stun chance.
Yeah, that's super it was really impressive, that portion of it coming together.
Yeah. Now, of course, this build is a single target only build. It's clear as mediocre. So like if you were to tell me this is a build that kills Uber Abroth, I'd be like,
good. Should.
Good. Yep. It should. If not, then it's a failure because like, what the fuck is the point of it? It's also using some unscrupulous tech with Hololich, which we won't talk about now, but
talk about on the build contest on Saturday and Sunday on my stream, because it's been submitted as part of the build contest. So I'm very excited.
Yep. Now. All right. Then after that we have Shaman, which is just tornadoes, but you know, just as a shaman said. And then I think Storm Totem too. I don't know. I haven't seen a Storm Totem kill myself, but like, I think it can do it. It has damage, right?
It sounds like I just should have cut you off already, but I'm going to cut you off before the last three here.
Yeah, go ahead.
But like what it sounds like is you and I are both currently in the market of like gathering Uber Abroth kills from the audience. Yeah. Like, if anyone out there is killing Uber Abroth, we are very interested in seeing what you're doing, what you're exploiting, what skills you're using. Like, we are still very much so.
Is important.
Yeah, we're very much so in the phase of discovery. Like, we know that VK can do it. I have my Racing Strike character. I am just now pivoting to my next build. I'm in CUF. I take a little bit longer to pivot than Dread does. But, like, I'm just now pivoting to, like, another build that I can try to take to Uber Abroth. I'm still looking at what other people have been brainstorming in the meantime. Cool.
All right. Then we got Forge Guard, which is either Manifest Armor, which we haven't seen a kill of yet with snapshotting, or it's with Shield Bash Event Horizon, which if you want
to. Sounds hot as hell.
Spicy.
I like it. Can I mention Forge Guard real quick?
Yeah, pardon me.
So like Forge Guard, like I love making fun of Forge Guard because it's so easy to. So the new node at the very top of the Forge Guard tree, like it was buffed for a while, it was double penalizing you with all the downsides, but they fixed that, so that's nice. And like, when I think about Forge Guard, the mastery really isn't that bad. They did an okay job with it. They did a good job.
You just compared
Paladin and they did a good job with it. I would like the mastery tree itself for Forge Guard to get to like a little bit more love to it, just like a tiny more spice.
Right, minions are bad too.
I don't want to shout out minions. I want to shout out something different.
Yeah.
And like, I love making fun of minions. Big fan of that. But I would like to shout out like the skills. When I think about Forge Strike compared to like Judgment, even like melee crit Judgment and Erasing Strike being like the bonk skill, I've played Forge Strike recently. I know it's fine. Like I did like a Plague Dragon Tongue with it, you know, during 1.1. It was fine. It was good. But like, it just doesn't compare. And I look at Smelter's Wrath. I never want to click the Smelter's Wrath button. I look at Shield Throw and like it does something, I guess, but like I'm never going to use it. Like the skills are very much so lagging behind the rest of the mastery. I really don't think the mastery is to blame here. I think it's just like the skills that need an update.
So I'm going to defend Shield Throw right now. The Shield Throw rework was amazing, and Shield Throw actually has multiple viable builds now.
Okay.
I will mention that, and they are competitive. It's just the problem is they are focused on the minion ricochet thing where you get multiple ricochets and hit multiple times. Mm-hmm. That is how you do single target in those builds, and that is the offender, in my opinion, on Shield Throw. But yeah, the rest of it's garbage.
I mean, you say like the offender, you mean like that's the part that makes it good, or that's the part that makes it like boring?
That's the part that makes it annoying.
Got it.
Like,
okay.
That's why you see less of it versus like hammers and javelin, is because you have to do this. And in Uber Abroth, I don't know if you noticed, but keeping minions alive.
Yeah,
that's not easy. And then we have Sorcerer. We literally don't know. We're theorizing that it might be Frostbite, but we don't know. We literally don't know. Literally. Now, the only problem with this list is we're not aware if Well, you can't snapshot Ring of Shields because like the cooldown and duration nature. So get out of here, snapshot boy. Get out of here. But yeah, continuing on, the sorcerer stuff. Unfortunately, we don't know if this list is between solo characters or just all kills. And if there's group kills of Abaroth, there are people who are grouping that probably could use a Sorc for some reason or another, right? Like
focus. Channel focus onto your teammate.
Yeah, like stuff like that with like Warpath or whatever. There's stuff you can do with that. So we don't know if that's a solo kill by sorcerer or it's in a group kill. We don't know.
I assume solo, but yeah, sure, yeah. Go ahead.
And then we have Blade Dancer, same thing. But we don't know. That's the thing. We just don't know. We should have asked. And then Blade Dancer with three builds at the bottom. Now, I don't think that this is a good representation of Blade Dancer's power. This is a good representation of what you use Blade Dancer for. You use Blade Dancer for zooming through monos and killing things. You do not use it for just bossing. Right, in my opinion.
We started this by like pointing out that there's a popularity contest as well, and like very little has changed with Blade Dancer for the like season 2 patch. And like there's a lot of cool, exciting stuff going on. I'm not blaming any kid for playing with their new Christmas toy instead of going into the basement and playing with something from last patch. Like, go play with your new toys. Good. I want to pivot off this conversation. Because I got at least one more thing that I want to talk about. Bleed Flurry. No, it's not Bleed Flurry. That's not what we're talking about. I want to, like, this is like maybe a hot take. And I wanted to bring this up because we ended last patch, or this was the last patch. We ended last podcast by mentioning that Frozen Sentinel, like the person who, like the content creator, is like doing a lot of stuff for like COF and prophecies and how to maximize your favorite per hour. And like, he really did a lot of good content for COF. And then he rerolled an Immersions Guild, which was very notable, right? So I'm still playing COF. You did 5 characters and you did a lot of work and you really blasted Immersions Guild in the first 2 weeks or so, or first week and a half. And now you're pivoting to COF as well. I would like to posit, based on my own experience playing a Racing Strike right now, I'm only playing one build at the moment, so maybe I'll feel differently later. But I like to posit that CWF is nerfed specifically because of Woven Echoes. Woven Echoes.
It's not nerfed. It's just more like it's getting replaced.
It's getting replaced with Woven Echoes. I care more about farming up my memory amber than I do farming up my favor per hour. And I've multiple times been in this scenario where like I really don't have anything to spend my COF favor on. I'd much rather be like farming Uber Abaroth, farming Memory Amber, trying to get like more Nemesis, because Nemesis is a good way of getting like triple exalted items so that I can imprint them, so that I can get more of them, so that I can redeem them for the future. And like, that's really interesting. Like doing exalted item prophecies, like disregarding the price for them, doing exalted item prophecies in COF, like you're going to get like a single exalted stat, which is good if you're trying to get like exalted T7 mana for just that one, you know, the one LP meta that we're currently in. But like, if you're trying to get like a double exalted thing, like COF is not the way to go.
It's let's be real. The you know, unfortunately, the elephant in the room, it's imprints. Let's be real, right?
Imprints are good.
Yeah, but that's the problem, is like imprints pretty much are just better COF. Which is where the problem comes from, right?
Maybe like, we should put them into CWF and not let Merchants Guild use them.
No.
Get out of here, Merchants
Guild. I like imprints in Merchants Guild because it's interesting. I like them. They just should get nerfed. I like their existence. They should just get nerfed.
Okay? Maybe CWF now, should have increased effect of imprints.
The way that they nerf them, okay, is more interesting. Because right now there's a lot of Woven Echo strategies where you print infinite amber. If you couldn't print infinite amber, then you can print infinite box rooms, which then, okay. So if you don't know, okay, I'll explain the strat. What you do is you take a Lostwood Folly and you put it in the middle of a bunch of false shrine maps or whatever map you choose.
So Folly then, is when you kill, when you defeat the Folly, it puts extra juice into all the surrounding maps.
Amber. Mobs that give you amber when they're killed, and they give you a lot. And if you do that, you can print amber infinitely as long as you keep doing it. And all it takes is time and a little bit of start investment. Then you use that infinite amber you got to make a bunch of unclaimed troves, which are just a bunch of chests. Now, one of the imprints, mind you, works off of chess. And I don't think you were meant to get this many chests. And I think that's the problem with it. And if they nerf, like, I think if they nerf the infinite amber stuff and they don't make it so you can't make infinite amber anymore, I think it won't be that big of an issue. I think it'll be way less of an issue than it is now. But being able to do that essentially supplants COF, right?
It does. Like, COF is good for finding red rings, but imprints help a little bit. I really feel like Red Ring of Valeria is like the best part about COF, but like, I don't need 20 of them. Mm-hmm. I need.
Wait, what do you mean?
I don't need 20 of them. I need something else. So at multiple points during this gearing process for like a racing strike, I'm just like, I literally don't have it. Like, I guess I'll go farm some fucking red rings because I don't know what else to do. At one point, before I got my unique gloves that dropped from Uber Aberroth, which are really good gloves, the best part about the Uber Aberroth gloves is that they have an Eternal Gauntlet base and they're unique. I kid you not. This is the best part about the Eternal Gauntlet gloves that drop from Uber Aberroth. They're a unique item. You get them with one LP. They have the right base type, and you can slam T7 intelligence or a T7 mana on them. Like, they also have mana, or sorry, they also have attack speed. They also have, like, you know, leech, and they have like their interesting DR stuff, and they also have life. Like, sure. But the best part about them is that they're on the right base type, and I can get them with LP, so I can use them in the current one LP meta. Because before I got those gloves on my Racing Strike character, the best pair of gloves I had after farming for like a week and a half on my Racing Strike character doing 1,000 corruption, literally the best that I could find, using my Giga Chad Giga Chad Exalted Glove Prophecies that give me 4 pairs of Exalted Gloves every time I fulfill a prophecy, always on the wrong base type, by the way, was I think it was T7 mana, T3 ward gained on potion use, T4 hybrid health, and T3 armor shred. That was the best pair of gloves that I could find in a week and a half while I was on my path toward defeating Uber Aberroth. Then as soon as I got a 1LP pair of gloves from him, I threw that garbage on the ground. Or more realistically, what I did is I took that T7 mana and I put it on the correct base type. It's like, oh my god, what a gearing process in COF. Why? Four pairs of gloves from a prophecy.
I thought I was going to crash out.
It's four pairs, and one pair of gloves is amazing, and it has armor dot or armor mitigation applies to dot, and everything else is useless garbage. Cool gearing process, bro. Like,
I mean, that's more of a problem with Eternal Gauntlets being the only use.
Okay, maybe it's a problem with Eternal Gauntlet being really strong. That,
but you know,
yeah. So COF, I don't find myself having reasons to use COF, which is wild to me.
I don't think it's that bad, but I personally don't think it's that bad. As someone who's been recently playing COF, I think that COF isn't the problem, and I think that the Woven Tree just came out and has broken things about it that will get fixed in the future. I think that's the problem, and this is just simply a symptom of the issue.
Yeah, I think it's a good problem to have, because the Woven stuff is new, and the new stuff should be fun, and the new stuff should be strong. And boy, is it both fun and strong.
Because you still need to do, like your COF to like get your 3 LP mana guides and stuff like that. Like, you still have to use like your prophecies.
Yes.
Like, it's not like as if you're completely ignoring it. It's just, they work symbiotically with each other. It's just one side is just eating the other in terms of like efficiency, I think, at least in my opinion, from someone that, you know, so recently I actually swapped to COF. Like you said, that is mainly because what happened was, I got absurdly rich very quickly because I was farming 2 LP world splitters to sell, and I dropped a 3 LP one, but I also dropped a bunch of 2 LP ones because I was doing a collapsing horizon farm, like a lot of them. Like, I was going like five, six, seven bosses per rotation, and I was printing world splitters in trade. And you can't get a 2-OP world splitter that easy in trade, so you have to buy them, right? Whether to re-roll. And I was even selling world splitters that I put in the Nemesis egg that got two mods for the people with 2-LP world splitters to re-roll, which, by the way, amazing addition, by the way.
Big agree,
but
yes.
I was making bank. Absolute fucking bank. Like, I was rolling. And this was before all of the inflation. And then the inflation hit, and I was still rich. And the problem was, I was going, like, what happened was, I was going to roll, like, I rolled in a Racing Strike build, and I re-geared the Flame Whip build, right? And I spent copious amounts of currency on it. And I kind of just sat there and thinking to myself, like, I was about to kill Uber Abrath. I was going to spend a day killing him, because, like, I was going to, like, learn the fight and all that, because I haven't done that yet, because I haven't been spending time doing that. I've been spending time having fun.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Instead of grinding my nose against Uber Abrath. Like, whether or not you think it was fun, Perry, it's not that fun to, like,
ram your head. I enjoyed it, but go on.
But you get what I mean.
Yes, like, I totally understand.
Like, it's a very long time investment that not many people can do, too, by the way, mind you. But, I was looking at my gear. I'm like, no one can afford this shit. Like, at all. The people who watch me can't afford it. What's the point of me doing this? And that kind of just pissed me off a little bit in terms of, yeah, screw the force. No, it pissed me off in terms of the content I was making, and I didn't like it. So I kind of have an epiphany. So I spent like 2 days just like doing nothing and relaxing and staring at the screen and being like, what am I supposed to do? Because I also, spoilers, I drink a little bit too, mind you, with a hangover. But neither here nor there, I started playing Zero to Hero runs again, but instead of stopping at 300 corruption, I was stopping at 1,000 and doing Abaroth. And that felt really good. And that felt a lot better. But like, I kind of realized that, like, while Uber Abaroth is the new thing, it's fun and all that, 99.999% of people watching on YouTube don't give two flying shits about whether or not you killed it, because none of them are doing it either. Well, like
in addition, a good example, 99.9% of the content in Last Epoch does not include Uber Abaroth. Yeah, like there's one relic here that's pretty good, but like everything else in the game is wide open to you.
Yeah, a good example here is, I'm looking here. How much was it this time? It was the peak this time was 150,214 people. And the amount of people that killed it was 4,000. I'm just going to do a rough estimate, right? 4,000 divided by 150. That is 2% of the everyone that have bought. Oh, wait, no. Is that even worse? No, it's 2%. Yeah, it's 2%. 2.6%. Of all people that have played the video game have killed Uber Abaroth. And the 98% of people haven't done it. Now, whether or not they want to do it or not,
I was going
to
say, like, this is like not a reflection of like whether that's still a goal for them.
Yeah. But what I mean is like, it's just content that's like I said before, like we talked about this at length, like it's just going to be relegated to side content. What's going to happen is, oh, are you playing a build that deletes Uber Abaroth before he does anything? Good. That's what you should do. And then, like, no one wants to watch someone kill Uber Abaroth in every single build for 14 minutes straight, right? Like 14 minute long. Like, a good example, the Tornado Werebear. Like, it killed him, but it was cringe to watch because it looked awful. But he killed him. It did it, right? And I think that's the problem is, like, we're like, people forget we're not Souls gamers. We're ARPG gamers. We have, like, it's like a completely different like subset of people who just play for fun. And I think that's the biggest thing is like Uber, like every single time I would pop into a stream other than yours, Lizards, Volkas, and maybe Beena's, everyone else other than a few, like everyone I would see doing Uber Abaroth and streaming it and recording it, they all looked like they were miserable, or at least attempting to do it. Everyone looked miserable. The only reason they were doing it was because people expected them to do
mm-hmm.
it. And like, it was like,
come on, streamer, go kill the buzz.
It was eye-opening to me. Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting.
Love it. Maybe 0.5%.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. You're right. I'm sorry. Pirate Starbridge. You're right. That was 150,000 concurrent. How much was it total this patch? I can't remember. It's like way less than that. They have like a chart on it. It's way less than 2%. I'm sorry. It's so much less than 2%. I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's so much less. But continue on. Go ahead, Barry. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Now that you've killed it. Now that you've killed it with a build that is not your own. How do you really enjoy the fight.
I have complaints with the fight, and like I guess I'll air my grievances right now because sometimes HD tunes in.
Yeah.
And so my complaints about the Uber Aberroth fight, first of all, like those poor minion builds, like I don't know how you're supposed to cleanse frailty off your minions. That sounds like a nightmare. So that's one complaint. Another complaint would be the hitbox of various skills seems pretty unforgiving. So the hitboxes that stand out to me are
the balls.
I think the balls are like they're really hard to evade. You can't narrowly miss one of the balls that's like going left and right across the arena. Like you need to like evade them by a wide margin, or else they're just gonna like tip your hat or like tip your foot, and like you might as well have not evaded it at all. I feel like those could be like a tiny bit more forgiving. And then another one would be like he's I guess like maybe all of his slam attacks seem like the hitbox for them is a little bit bigger than you think they are. So maybe just like revisiting hitboxes. I've died to a lot of hitboxes that were like, I can't believe that I'm actually standing inside of this thing. Like I've died a lot. I learned a lot, but I died a lot.
You were streaming most of it. I watched.
Yeah. I mean, like now that I can do it, like it was, I posted on YouTube, like the very first time that I killed it, but like the first two and three, four times that I did it were like super high emotional moments. And like really makes me think that I might actually enjoy playing Elden Ring, cause I've never actually played it, but like, it was fun as hell. I really loved smashing my head into it, and kudos to EHG for not making it cost anything to smash your head into it. If it had cost like a map or gold or literally anything at all, it'd be fucking garbage learning the fight, because it is so much more difficult than anything else in Last Epoch. If it's that much of a spike in difficulty, you gotta let people try for free. And they did. So like kudos to them for that.
Yeah, I like the difficulty. I like that. I made a video talking about it, and I got a little bit of a pushback on certain parts of it, where I talked about how like it's fine if not every build kills Uber Aberroth.
Oh, I completely agree with you. You know what? I think I saw the pushback that you received on that too. People are like, why are you gonna play a build if it doesn't do all the content in the game? Like, have you? That is telling on yourself that you haven't done Uber Aberroth, which is fine. It's okay and not to. It's fucking hard.
The thing is too, right? Is like, I don't think I've ever played an RPG ever where every single build was able to do everything.
Yeah.
Like, there's always been content that, like, your build sucks at, and that's how it's supposed to work, right? The fact that Erasing Strike does all that is an anomaly, mm-hmm. not the exception, like, mm-hmm. not the rule, right? Like, a good example, a lot of these builds, I don't know if you noticed while we were printing them off, other than, I don't know, Warpath and Erasing Strike, are all builds that just genuinely suck at clearing monos. Like your flame whip suck at clearing monos, your shield bash sucks at clearing monos, your judgment sucks at clearing monos, your Stormcrow build sucks at clearing monos, your A-bomb build is a pain in the ass, your marksman heartseeker build is specifically only for damage, like your Lich Stygian Cold Lock has no clear. You can do something better for clear with that build, but still, like, Hydrahedron is like an exception to this, but I think it's an expensive build because of fundamental criterion. It's not like what you said with like a Racing Strike where it was like a free kill, mm-hmm. right? Where like you have to actually invest in your fundamental criterion and stuff. It's like actual investment. Tornado Werebear is like you require to do a specific strategy. Warlock, like I said, Flame Whip, like all these builds. Like, there's something very similar, and they all are the definition of clunk. I will point out, right? That's, like, the biggest thing about this is, like, the builds that are killing Uber Aberroth are clunk. Like, what do you think about that?
That's to be expected right now. Like, it's easy to look at something like this and say, like, oh, we're 2 weeks into the patch, like, everything's been figured out at this point. Like, we love making memes about, you know, tier lists that come out on day zero of a patch.
And okay, here you go. Here's a good example here.
You gotta let me finish. If I introduce that meme, you have to let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
Please. So, like, we love making jokes about that. And when they say, like, you know, streamers are no-lifing and people are pumping up builds left and right, we are, and this is like a love letter to Twitch chat right now, we are 100% still in the realm of discovery for builds that can do Uber Abroth. It is not set in stone. There will be new builds discovered. That, like, your new combinations of things, like, maybe this is something that freezes him, or like maybe a year from now everybody plays mages to take down Uber Abroth because, like, you have access to snap freeze and there's a skill that does enough damage and people have figured all the details, and like, you're gonna look at people playing a racing strike like, what an artifact of the past that was. Like, we are definitely in the realm of discovery right now.
Here you go, this is the perfect example. I just got DM'd Mystia, someone in the community. They just posted a 2 minute Uber Abroth kill on Javelin Time Rot that uses Javelin Banner with the massive 250% more damage from Javelin Banner to apply your time rots to do infinite damage with time rot. 100 million ticks, 2 minute Uber Abroth. Speaking of Clunk, have you ever played with Javelin Banner? I have.
You played Javelin Banner as a DPS skill?
Mm-hmm.
So when you turn it into a banner, it gets like a big cooldown, but then it also gets a 250% damage multiplier on it.
Yeah, so that's meant as compensatory for, you know, turning it into a piece of shit. You know?
100 million DPS takes on time run? That's amazing.
Yeah, I'll send you the video.
Sure. Like, let's go watch that after this.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Like, speaking about Clunk, like, you have to make sure your time, like, your javelin is has enough cooldown to kill, to be able to apply them to do the time rot stuff, right? Not only that, like
I mean, that one singular node puts you on par with Smite. And then you also have other damage over time multipliers on top of that with Javelin. Like,
and that's, BBC. That's really interesting. They also use BBC. It also uses BBC for the Void Pen per dexterity.
Oh, that's right. Doesn't it have time rot on it as well?
Yeah, it has Void Pen per dexterity.
Wow, it's a BBC single use Javelin build with the cooldown.
Speaking about new builds that didn't exist before.
Amazing.
And like, that came out of the woodwork. But like I said, it just completely like that proves my point of the things that are killing Uber Abroth are the clunkiest things we've ever seen. And it's amazing.
I love it. All right. We've been going for an hour.
Healing. Frailty of Abroth does reduce healing.
We've talked, like, the judgment stuff has like repeatable frailty, but just get frailty on your belt. I want to say real quick, there's like, I've said this before, but like, from my experience playing like a racing strike and doing Uber Abroth over and over, I can tell you right now, like, outside of like the very baseline of my build, the biggest singular upgrade of my character was getting cleanse on my belt. It was like night and day getting that. Cause like I looked at Fubgun's build and I assumed Fubgun did no wrong. He killed it. He was world's first. He probably did something right. And like the very first stat that he put on his belt, his shattered chains belt, the more multiplier for melee, was hybrid life. And I was like, all right, hybrid life instead of cleanse. It's deterministic. You probably did this intentionally. So I did the same thing. And like, as soon as I got a 2 LP and I got cleanse on it as well, night and day. If I were like starting over from fresh, I'd go cleanse first and then just like not have any life on my belt for a while. Yeah. Massive, massive quality of life at the very final phase. In any case, what I want to say is we've been live for an hour and 18 minutes at this point, talking about snapshotting at the very beginning, talking about the rundown of the stats that Mike shared with us today, talking about the Uber Abroth builds and what's been taking it down. And then me with my maybe hot take about CUF being nerfed. My specific angle being because the new woven stuff is so much fun and kind of takes the place of it. And I have personally felt as though COF, I don't have things to spend my COF faction favor on. So, you know, fucking Merchant's Guild.
You're playing only one build. That's unfair.
That's true.
Primarily boss drops too, mind you.
It's also true.
Character is filled with boss drops. I think this is a personal problem.
It might be a personal problem. You know, I just need more red rings. It's funny that I have so many red rings, and I need two more. With one,
I can't believe you'd complain about having too many red rings as someone who dropped them on the ground so casually.
I am going to end the podcast. This has become a personal attack against me. This is episode 63. We've powered through our topics, and we always want to save more for later as well, because there's always more to talk about. So, Dredd, thank you for yapping with me. I appreciate you, buddy. If you are watching on YouTube after the fact, if you're watching on Spotify or even a VOD somewhere, just let us know where you're watching so that we can make sure that your watching and listening experience is as good as possible. Episode 63 of the Rat City Radio Podcast, hour and a half or so. Dredd, I'll see you later, buddy.
Before I go, I sent you the Time Rot build.
Perfect. Let's go watch Solo Banner Time Rot and kill Uber Abroth. It'll be great. It's the after hours.
It's pretty okay, too, because you just use Void Cleave.
That's interesting. It's interesting. Because you have a BBC.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge BBC. Okay, we're ending the stream. All right, bye.